Welcome everyone to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode we did something a little bit different, and we looked at a few questions that come up. And you know, questions are infinite, so three questions isn't going to cover what you need to get covered, but we looked at those and they're good. I looked at them again. I said, okay, this is good. Kind of covers a lot. In fact, some of the questions I never really had answers for myself. And I think that, you know, if you got anything from it last episode, then I'm very happy. You know, it's kind of one of those that, you know, you could skip over maybe. But I thought it was really good. So hopefully you really enjoyed it. This episode, we're going to look at what sort of the sign, if you will, of someone who has attained enlightenment. And I always look for that when I read things and philosophers and gurus, even disciples. I'll read what they've written. And I'm always looking for a certain quality. And the quality is a real solid understanding of the subject matter, so much so that it's in them. They are it. And also, you will always find, you know, that's the big one anyway. And then you always find this humble acknowledgement of their teacher. But that doesn't mean if you just write something and say, oh, I'm so grateful for my teacher, you know, or long live my teacher, that you're enlightened. But that's sort of something that I also see. And the reason it's there for someone who's really attained it is because they really are grateful for getting what it is that they've been given. And the way one usually does that is by sort of hailing their teacher. You know, there was this Whitman poem, Walt Whitman, "Oh Captain, My Captain," and it was also in the Dead Poets Society, starring the late Robin Williams. And that's how we sort of think of the guru. Oh, Captain, My Captain. And if anyone's seen Dead Poets Society, there was this wonderful scene where the students stood up on the desk to show their teacher what they had learned, who was played by Robin Williams. And they all stood up on their desks and said, "Oh, Captain, My Captain." And that was a very, very touching moment in that movie. And that's kind of what we should be looking for when we think of someone who's attained enlightenment. They're going to resemble those students. You know, if Robin Williams is the enlightened one, then the students, by doing that, have showed their attainment with their praise of their teacher. But that's just one aspect. The other aspect is, of course, that you have to actually embody it fully. You know, it has to be your being. You know, you can't really just, you know, have a couple moments where you understand it and then completely change gears and, you know, really kind of, you can't have really two lives. It kind of all has to be this one central life of a master. But it doesn't mean that a master is pigeonholed in some way. It just means they're not going to be like, oh yeah, I wrote that book. Did you like it? Oh yeah, I don't know. I'm traveling in Fiji right now. I don't, you know, I'm, that's not, going to be the enlightenment. The teacher's always going to be sort of one, if you will, one-dimensionally enlightened. They're not going to be, you know, doing this and then the next day doing something else. Okay. So, and then, of course, this big, you know, fundamentally important, gracious, you know, acknowledgement of their teacher. And I haven't done this on this podcast. I haven't talked about specifically the guru, but I have done a little bit on the guru. And I think that when we look at the guru, when we understand, you know, like I was saying, what it is that we have received, I think there's a moment there where you can say thank you. And I don't think it's a lack of, shows a lack of attainment or a lack of knowledge. I think it shows a good amount of knowledge. And when the gurus from the East came over in droves to this country in the 60s and 70s primarily, you know, the idea of bowing down to a teacher is very strange. It's almost seen as like, uh-oh, something bad is happening here, right? But it's not really a sign of something weak to do that. You know, it's not as if you walk into your therapist's office and bow to them before they give you therapy. But in some Eastern countries, bowing is kind of a sign of just respect, and you do it without thinking, just a normal, you know, they do it in business in the East. So, but we look at that askance. We don't understand the significance of it. And that's another thing that any real true teacher would be. A true teacher isn't going to really treat you differently than he treats his own guru. So, because he's going to see the light of God in you, even though you don't see it in yourself, and therefore is going to be thankful and humble towards you, just as he would be towards his own guru. Because there's nothing that doesn't include that essence of guruhood when you really understand the scriptures. So that's where we're going to sort of be in this episode. And I'm sorry I was meandering so much towards the beginning, but that's kind of the way I like to do these podcasts. I like to kind of keep them real, kind of in the moment, because if I'm reading something to you or if I'm just dictating or lecturing, it's going to be very boring. So I kind of just want to kind of get into the meat part of it. I took a little bit of extra time on this podcast than I normally do. You know, we're about 10 minutes in, but so now we're going to look at the scriptural teachings of this consciousness, this guru principle that really pervades the entire universe. It's in us. It's not some foreign entity. So really, when you bow to a guru, you're really bowing to yourself. And so there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And if you say thank you, and if you're appreciative, that's what humanity is all about. That shows your humanity, your humanness, and we should be doing that with each other, really, to be honest. So, when we attain the self, we're going to be able to see the light of consciousness in the world. And it appears as these tiny little dots that you can see. And when you see these little dots, you're seeing consciousness. You know, right now, if you're in a meditative state, you look at anything, you might see these tiny little lights in whatever you're perceiving. And that's just the light of God. And so we understand that this light is within us, and that it's actually pervades the entire universe. So, and it is God. It is the nature of God. It's not anything like, it's, you know, the real, you know, vision is that blue pearl, which I've talked about before. And if you can see that in meditation, that's a really good sign. Because that's going to be your divinity in that blue pearl. But nevertheless, the light of consciousness, whether we perceive it or not, is pervading everywhere. And I think that when you do find yourself in meditation, you don't perceive anything else. You just perceive that light of God. And you might be very still and meditating quietly for a period of time. And when you come out of meditation, you should still be able to perceive that light. And when you go to sleep at night, it should still be there. When you dream, it should be there. And when you're in deep sleep, it should be there. And then when you come out of sleep, it should also be there in the morning when you wake up. You should still be able to perceive that same light. And to understand that is a very high understanding. If you're a meditator and you understand how that light pervades your different states of sleep, then you've really done something quite good for yourself. So we say that the world is unreal. We say that the light is real. And we also say that the light is the soul of man. And it's the same in every man, whether you're ignorant or insane or enlightened, it's the same light. It doesn't change if your mind changes. So if your mind becomes diseased or gets hurt in some way, the light never changes. It's always the same, and it's in every person. And that's how we should meditate. We should meditate with that understanding. That can help us a lot. So I urge everyone to go within themselves here on this little episode. And I would also say that you're welcome to think of the universe as your own body. Because if this is a goal that we're going to have, then we really should, if we really want to be enlightened beings, why not practice that now? And when you're meditating, think of the universe as your own body. Really, the universe is just, you know, the universe was created to discover, to be discovered. You know, the universe was created to be able, so you could see God in it. It wasn't created for suffering. It might not be so simple to see God in it, but that's the beauty of this little thing called life. We're supposed to see that. We're supposed to be alive to perceive God in the world. And many people do it. All the major religions will, you know, have their way of showing you God in the world. And we're really here to see that. So if you've never seen God in the world, doesn't mean that you never will. That's a very important point. Certainly before I ever even started on my journey, I didn't even know I was even on it. I had a vision, and that vision has remained. So it's not like I knew what I was going to see beforehand. So obviously it's a great blessing to have a vision of divinity when nothing would seem to be divine, really. And yet to see divinity obviously would give one great peace and satisfaction, and one would live with great purpose in the world. So the great thing about when you start to meditate with that kind of awareness is that the universe is actually your own creation. It's actually within you, because it can't exist outside consciousness. So then you really understand that, hey, this is my creation. I mean, as I'm doing this podcast, I'm actually having the awareness that the universe is my own being, that my own body, that I'm creating it. And you should have the same awareness, because really it's true technically. It's very true. Because consciousness is within. Consciousness gives you the ability to perceive. And actually, that's what we're trying to learn on this path of enlightenment. So it can be a little tricky. We try to remain aware that the universe is ours or our creation or part of us, despite seeing it otherwise. So the tendency to see it otherwise is always going to be there. But we nevertheless, despite that tendency, we still try to see the universe as our own. And this is actually the way to meditate. So this is another way to come to meditation. And I would urge everyone to use this method in their practice to allow them to meditate deeper. And you just have to go beyond your tendency to see the universe as separate from yourself. Even though it's one with yourself and you're not perceiving it, go beyond those tendencies and really see it as yourself. And that is the way of the enlightened. That's the teaching of the saints. So I would urge everyone to try to understand what I've said today and practice that kind of awareness. So with that, I will leave you in peace. I wish you all the best, and we will talk next time. So this has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.